I'm going to share my heart with you this morning. I have a desire for you. My desire for you is that when you go to heaven, first of all, my desire is that you go to heaven, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. If there's somebody here that doesn't know how to get to heaven, I'm going to tell you how you can get to heaven. But if you're on your way to heaven, my desire for you, my prayer for you, something I think about just about every day for you as I pray, is that when you stand before your Savior, that you will hear as you enter heaven, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We'll hear that if we live our life that is pleasing to Christ. I'm going to use this as my text verse. I'm going to do something different this morning. And not a verse that we read a moment ago, but a verse that I want to read for you now from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. You don't need to turn to it. I'll read it for you. Where the Bible says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Paul wrote this letter to the church at Thessalonica. He wasn't at that city very long. He started preaching, people got saved, and then the Jews came after him and wanted to kill him, so he left town. And so he left a young church, some young Christians, but he had a desire for them that they would learn how to live their life that would be pleasing to the Lord. He said in that verse, how ye ought to walk and please God so that ye would abound more and more. He says, I want you to learn how to live the Christian life, and I want you to do it in a way that would be pleasing to God, and I want you to do it more and more and more and more. Now, as I study the scripture, I find that in the Bible, there's only two people that are mentioned where the Bible says about them that they please God. One of them we read about in Hebrews chapter 6, the man called Enoch. Enoch lived, and he lived for 65 years. If you don't know his story, he lived for 65 years, and his wife was expecting a little baby. God came to him and said, "Hey, that little baby's going to be a boy." And Enoch, I'm going to tell you something about the world. The world is wicked. The world has turned away from their Creator. That little boy is going to be born, and that when that little boy dies, when he grows up and when he lives and when he dies, I am going to send judgment on this world. Enoch's little boy was named Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969 years. He's the longest living person that's recorded in the Bible. And God let Methuselah live longer than anybody else because he was trying to give the world a chance to repent and turn back to him so they wouldn't have to destroy it. But they didn't. The world didn't turn back to him. In fact, we know that God brought that destruction by way of a flood. And here's what the Bible says about Enoch in the book of Genesis. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years." So Enoch lived 365 years. He was 65 years old when this little baby Methuselah was born, the baby that God said, "When he dies, I'm going to bring judgment on the world." And the Bible says that after Methuselah was born, that Enoch walked with God. It implies that before Methuselah was born, that Enoch walked for himself. He lived the I kind of life that, if you studied the Sunday school lesson this morning, you saw that lady that had fought cancer and figured out what life was all about was living it to please yourself. And before Methuselah was born, that's how he lived his life, to please himself. But when God gave him that message that when that little baby was born and then lived and was going to die, that he was going to destroy the world, Methuselah said, "I got to start living for God." And he walked with God, and the Bible says he pleased God. And one day when Methuselah and God were out walking, God said, "Hey, don't go to your house, come to my house." And he took Methuselah to heaven. Not Methuselah, Enoch to heaven. See what happens when I try to preach fast? Amen. Are you still with me? All right, Enoch. He took Enoch to heaven because he pleased God, because God got a hold of him and said, look, judgment is coming. You need to start living for me instead of for yourself. He's one of two in the Bible whose testimony is that he pleased God. The other one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus lived to please God. He said in John 8:29, for I do always those things that please him. It's said about him in Romans chapter 15, verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. At his baptism, as recorded in Matthew chapter 3, as he came up out of the water and that dove descended from heaven, there was a voice heard from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when he stood there with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah came and talked to Jesus, a cloud came over that mountain, and a voice came from that cloud that said again, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear he, him. Now look, only two in the Bible that please God. Only two in the Bible whose testimony is that they please God. Well, my desire for you is that you please God. My desire for you is that, again, when you go to heaven, you walk into the portals of heaven and you're met by your Savior and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we're to hear that, then we have to live our lives in a way that pleases our God. So you might ask the question, how do I please God? Well, we read in just a moment ago how we please God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if I'm going to live my life in a way pleasing to God, I have to live my life by faith. What's faith? Again, we go back to where we read in Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When there is something that we hope for, and we as Christians hope for eternal life, we as Christians hope for heaven, we as Christians hope for the joy that comes from living a life that's pleasing to God. Look, I've never been to heaven. I've never seen heaven. I have to believe in heaven by my faith. I have to believe in heaven by what God tells me. And that's what God says. You want to know how to please me? Then you believe in me by faith. You live in me by faith. And if you do that, you'll live a life that's pleasing to me. By the way, if you're a Christian this morning, that's how you got saved. You did something that was pleasing to God when you got saved because you got saved by faith.
Amen.
Now listen, if you're not a Christian, listen real closely. The Bible says that every one of us are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now you might be here, this might be your first time here. This might be your second time here. You might be here and I don't know you and you don't know me. I can tell you, regardless, if I know nothing about your life, I can tell you, regardless, you are a sinner.
Amen.
And it's not me saying it, it's the Word of God saying it. It's God saying it. We're all sinners. Look, every single one of us can find somebody in our life and we can say about them, well, I'm not as bad as they are. I'm not as bad a sinner as they are. And God says, don't compare yourself to somebody else. You compare yourself to my glory. You compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize what a sinner we are. There's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. To be separated from God. Look, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they didn't die physically immediately, but they died spiritually immediately because God had to kick them out of the garden. They were separated from God. That's the penalty of sin. Now, here's where faith comes in. There's nothing I can do to pay for my sin. As a sinner, the only thing that I can do on my own is to be separated from God forever. Starts now, it will go on for all eternity. I can do nothing on my own to take care of my sins, to make it up to God. But what I could not do for myself, God did for me. He sent his only begotten Son into the world. Jesus lived in the world, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then God allowed mankind to nail him to a cross. And as Jesus hung on the cross, God put on him all of my sin and all of your sin. And when he died on Calvary, he paid the price for my sins. And if I, by faith, put my belief and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, then the Bible says God will forgive me for my sins. In fact, he'll wipe away all the sins from my record. He'll put on my record the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I am saved. Say, preacher, what do you mean by saved? I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I don't have to be separated from God anymore. I can have a relationship with God right now. I can have a relationship with God for all eternity. Not because of what I've done. The book of Ephesians says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's not your goodness that saves you from the penalty of sin. It's not the fact that you come to church that saves you from the penalty of sin. It's not the fact that you've been baptized or take the Lord's Supper that saves you from the penalty of sin. What saves you from the penalty of sin is the price that Jesus paid on Calvary and the fact that you appropriated it for yourself through faith. Amen. So when you got saved, if you're saved this morning, you did something that pleased God. He's pleased by the faith that you put in his Son. Now, that's how we ought to live our life. That's how Enoch lived his life. He lived his life in faith. He lived his life depending on God. That's what faith is. When I got saved, I put my dependence on Jesus Christ. I quit depending on what I could do for myself. I quit depending on the works that I could do to make me right with God, and I put all of my dependence on him. When we live by faith, that's the same thing we do. We put our dependence on him. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, in other words, quit depending on God, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Listen to what God says. He says, I want you to, you got saved by faith. You want to know how to please me? It's by your faith, because without faith, you can't please me. You please me when you got saved because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now to please me as you live your life, I want you to live your life depending on me. Amen. With faith in me. The just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And again, what that means is I quit depending on myself. I quit depending on my intellect. I quit depending on my strength. I quit depending on my abilities. And I live my life depending on God. Amen. I live my life leaning on him. I live my life not by my resources, but by the resources that God makes available to all of his children. Amen. Now listen, I got 2 points and then I'll be done. Number one, anybody can please God. Anybody can please God. I'm glad God didn't say you please me by being good looking. I would have been disqualified. I'm glad God didn't say you please me by being smart. I might have had a little bit more of a chance, but I still wouldn't have made it. God didn't say you please me by being strong. God didn't say you please me by being young. I'm glad as an old person, I don't have to depend on my youth and my strength to please God. I'm glad God says that if you depend on me, if you live your life leaning on me, if you live your life depending on me, you will please me. I watched the last couple of days as little Anna came home from the hospital. I was reminded again, because it's been a while since we've had a little one around, how dependent little babies are for everything. You know, there's absolutely nothing she can do for herself. Absolutely nothing. When she's hungry, somebody's got to feed her. When she's made a mess, somebody's got to change her. By the way, I've forgotten how to change diapers, so. And I'm going to try not to learn again. But anyhow, when she's cold, somebody needs to cover her up. When she's hot, somebody needs to take the cover off. She is dependent on everything. I watched her two little brothers. I remember when they were like that. I remember when Arnie, who's 4-year-old, now was dependent on his mom and dad and his pa for everything. Now there are things he don't want nobody doing for him. He wants to do them himself. Same thing with Aaron. Stephen Worth was Aaron. He's 8 years old. I can remember when we had to do everything for him. Now there's hardly anything he wants us to do for him. Talked to Brother Wayne this morning. Asked him about his granddaughters. He and Carol raised them. They depended on Grandpa and Grandma for everything. Now one of them got married, moving 3,000 miles away from Grandpa. And Grandpa's not feeling too good about it. You know what, Brother Wayne, I was thinking about you this week. Here's what I thought. I wonder if that's how God feels when we say, oh, I don't need God. I can live my life. I can take care of myself. I don't have to depend on him. I don't have to lean on him. Now, I know it's different with grandkids. I know we want them to grow up. We know we want them to get out on their own. We want them to enjoy life. And we got to let go. We let go. But God never wants to let go. God never wants his children to say, I can live without my God. I don't have to depend on him. That's not what God wants for his children. He's a father who never wants to let go. He's a father who always wants his children to depend on him. He's a father that will always provide what we need. Anybody can please God. It's up to us. Again, if you're here and you're not saved, you can please God this morning by coming and receiving Christ as your Savior. Amen. If you are a Christian, you can please him by just living your life in a way that says, I can't do it on my own, God. I don't want to do it on my own. I've tried it. I don't want to do it. I'm depending on you. I'm going to live by faith. And then point number two is this, and then we'll be done. When we don't depend on him, we sin. You know, it's a sin not to live your life in faith. Romans 14:23, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's sin. Now, if faith is depending on him, then sin is anything that I do without depending on him. Do you know that if I get up and preach without depending on God, it's a sin. If I get up and teach a Sunday school class without depending on God, it's a sin. If any of our Sunday school teachers that teach the children and the teens teach their Sunday school class without depending on God and drawing on him and leaning on him, it's a sin. You know, if the choir gets up here and sings and Adam gets up here and leads the singing and the ladies play the instruments and they do it without depending on God and asking for his help and his strength, it's a sin. Anything that we do without depending on God, God says, doesn't please me. It doesn't please me. I remember, and I thought about it this week, when Adam was a little boy, and he's not here, he'll probably hear this and be mad, but I don't care. When he was a little boy, he wanted to drive in the worst way. And so I remember one afternoon after I got home from work, I said, come on, Adam, we're going to go for a ride. Where are we going, Dad? I said, don't worry about it. Just get in the car. So I got him in the car, and we went over to a parking lot. It was almost empty. There was a couple cars still parked there, but it was almost empty. I said, well, I'm going to give you your first driving lesson. So I put him in my lap. He couldn't reach the pedals, of course. And he said, okay, okay. And so I got him in my lap, and he put his hands on the wheel, and I had my hands on the wheel, and we started across the parking lot. He said, Dad, take your hands off the wheel. I said, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, this is your first lesson. He said, no, 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 no. I've been watching you. I know how to do it. Just take your hands off the wheel. Let me do it by myself. I said, okay. So I took my hands off the wheel, and he started steering. It wasn't long before we were headed right for one of those cars. I said, are you watching where you're going? Yes, sir. Do you see that car coming up? Yes, sir. I said, what are you going to do? He said, Dad, you better put your hands back on the wheel. And I did. And we didn't hit that car. That's how we live our life sometimes. We say, God, I want to drive. I want to steer. You don't just take your hands off the wheel. I can do this by myself. God says, you sure? You sure? We say, yeah. God said, okay. Because he never forces himself on us. He'll let us make our own decisions. We're still people of free choice. So he takes his hands off the wheel. And we steer our life into a mess. Because we quit depending on him. And if we're smart, say, hey, I'm moving out of the driver's seat. You take the steering wheel. You do the driving. I'm depending on you. Amen. That's what faith is. That's pleasing to God. Again, my desire is for every single person in this room this morning, when you stand before the Lord, and you only do that if you're saved, but when you stand before the Lord, you'll hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou have lived a life that's pleasing to me. Pleasing to me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that are in it. We claim the promise that if we call upon you, you'll save us. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that's never called in faith to a Savior who died for them. Father, help them this morning to see their sin and how that sin separates them from you and how the only hope they have is to come to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Help them come in just a second. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to lean on you. Help us to depend on you. Help us to live our life by faith. To walk by faith, not by sight, but to walk by faith. And Father, if there's people here that have tried to take control of different areas of their life, I pray that they would come. They would take their hands off of those areas of their life and give them to you. And say, no, Lord, I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to depend on you. So just bless this time of invitation. Speak, Holy Spirit. Help us to listen and to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.